In case you're wondering, for the next couple weeks during this holiday time, we're giving the teachers a break, so they're getting to sit in on the classes. Kids, beginning in January 3rd, we have a whole new programming, so you'll get rolling then. Hallelujah. But we're just taking a break here and letting them have a break for a little bit. I want to talk about how to be happy at Christmas. I couldn't pick a better illustration than Charlie Brown. There's times I felt like Charlie Brown, you know? This is one thing that I have struggled with. I don't really have a message today. I'm not really going to preach. I don't think. Uh-oh. Those are my kids. They know me. Uh-oh. I remember when Kayla was about 8 years old, she came up to me and she said, "Dad, I got you figured out." I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "If you read a whole bunch of scripture," she said, "you don't preach real long. But if you read just one verse, look out." She had me figured out, you know. I remember I heard a story. I thought this was so cute, I have to share it again. About this class of first graders, that was Christmas time, and the Sunday school teacher thought, "I'll have them draw the story of Christmas." Didn't that little drama, didn't that just fit the meaning of Christmas today? Well, I think we should give the kids another hand, huh? And the teachers that helped out with it, of telling the real meaning of Christmas, you know. They said, "Would you please draw the story of Jesus?" And a whole bunch of kids drew these little manger scenes with a baby in the manger and sheep standing there and shepherds standing around, except this one little girl. This one little girl drew an airplane. And on the airplane, she had this little round man. And under the airplane, there was cactuses, big, tall, saguaro cactuses all over the place. And she drew some pyramids, you know, and the teacher is just trying to figure this thing out. "Your day's coming, Bree." Trying to figure this thing out, you know. And she let her finish, and she said, "Honey," she said, "what is that?" She said, "That's the flight over Egypt." "Oh, well, what's that little round thing? Little round guy with the stick hands and all that?" Says, "That's round yon virgin." So many times kids have a perspective of things that we don't have. You know? How to be happy at Christmas. She's happy, huh? I've been like this guy before at Christmas time. Some still think I'm like this guy at Christmas time, you know? Let me read you a Chinese proverb. "If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing." Hallelujah. "If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody out." That might be a Chinese proverb, but I like that. Helping others who are less fortunate than us can fill our life with love and connect us with people that share our passion. That's what I really love about this church. You people share the passion that I have to help people that are less fortunate than us. We send thousands of dollars worth of stuff to an orphanage that we don't even know the people. We help people we don't even know. We have food distributions every month and give groceries away to people we don't even know. Most we don't know. Most don't come here. And we don't do that for that reason. When I look around and see 40-some people helping in this, share this vision of being a church that is not four walls. I mean, if you come here very long, you'll realize this church ain't about a building. I mean, they always want me to put the building picture somewhere else. This thing looks like a warehouse. I ain't putting it anywhere. This don't look like a church building. We put tables in here and eat in the sanctuary. I had my district overseer come one time. The first time he saw us with tables in here eating, he looked at me and he said, my church would have a heart attack if we did that in the church. That's what he said. He said, they'd have a heart attack, you know? Folks, to me, this is a building. When I leave here, Jesus goes with me. I've been up here by myself. He ain't here. I've never seen him in here dancing around, having a heyday, you know? We take God with us. Now, I admit, when we invite the presence of God, we should put everything away. We should get into His presence and we sanctify this place for Him. I'll admit to that. But the bottom line is, we're more about people than we are things. And that's what church is all about. It's about people. It's about people that care. You know, it's about showing the love of Jesus. Shining the love of Jesus. You need to go on and check out our new website. We're totally redoing the website. You need to go and check it out. ShiningNewHope.com or NewHopeShines.com, whichever one. You need to go on there and check it out. Floyd has learned how to do websites for the purpose of doing our website. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's not easy to do that. I mean, Colleen's about ready to kill him, she said. Spent the whole day working on it. He wasn't feeling well, so he had the day off work, so he spent the whole day working on the website, you know? Oh, hallelujah. But folks, that's what we're about, you know? Let me read you the Christmas story. Let me read you the Christmas story. It's found in Luke chapter 2. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel of multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Oh, hallelujah. What a story, huh? What a story the birth of Jesus was. You know, the holiday season is a time of joy and love. At least it should be. But for many people, it may usher in a time of loneliness, when people get lonely. Am I doing losing it? No. Time of loneliness. Will you fix me, Brandon? Okay. Some people live far away from their families, and they miss their loved ones at this time of the year. While other people dread going to holiday parties and New Year's Eve celebrations without a partner to be with them, so they just end up staying alone or staying at home. Isolation is never God's plan. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you ever be tempted to be isolated, it's not the plan of God for your life. Trust me on that one. It's not God's plan. The first thing we need to do is learn to be a good friend to yourself. Be a friend to yourself. You know, that's one of the hardest things. When you get somebody to come to Christ, you know, one of the hardest things you do is get them to forgive themselves. I know it was so hard for me. Because I know me. And I know the way I think. And I know the way I acted. And I know the way I talked before Jesus. And just trying to get me to forgive me was so hard. And trying to learn how to be a friend to me. Now, I know this doesn't completely erase the feelings of loneliness. But I have learned that if I take care of me. See, I asked people one time, I said, we was with a group of pastors, and they were having such a hard time in their churches and all this sort of thing. And some of them were getting a little upset and a little ticked off at some of the congregants. And I looked at them and I said, guys, let me tell you something. You can't go to hell being a pastor. You have to be a Christian first. You have to be a good Christian. As a matter of fact, you should be the best Christian. And the only way to do that is to realize that you are forgiven and that God has forgiven you. Oh, hallelujah. And you become a friend to yourself. Now, I don't know what that means for you. Some of you, it might mean going and taking a hot bath. Some of you, it might mean go to the spa. Some of you might mean curl up with a good book. If you're like me, you enjoy a hobby. Or you learn something new. Or you take time to do things that will enhance your well-being. You know, folks, sometimes a good dose of fun is good for you. You know what I'm saying? A good dose of just laughing and having a good time. Kids' plays crack me up. I can't help but to laugh. They bring joy to me, you know? I can't help but to laugh about them. Because they bring so much fun to the thing. And you know, some people, you just need to lighten up and laugh. Now you think, well, my life isn't that great. It isn't that great. Thank you, guys. I just had my computer Windows 10 put in it, so I guess you're going to have to bear with it, whatever it's doing. Do you ever feel like this guy or girl, alone in a room full of people? You know, I'm a lot like this. You know, I have not had the greatest Christmases in my lifetime. I mean, Christmas time has been bad for me, to be honest with you. I mean, my emotions get all erupted. I'm 57 years old, and I still remember things that happened to me when I was 15, you know, at Christmas time. I mean, sometimes they just overwhelm me a little bit. You know, I never forget coming home from school, December 22nd, Christmas break. Walking up to the house, there's no car there. Wondering where Pops was. Mom had already left that summer. She left in June. Had no idea where she was at. Me and my brothers going up the driveway. We had this long walk. Let me tell you, kids, you kids are spoiled. These buses pull up and pick them up in front of the yard. My bus parked half a mile away and we walked it. We lived in, snow this deep. And we were the only house on the road, so they didn't plow our road. And we hoofed it to the bus. I used to tease my kids about having a hot potato wrapped in aluminum foil for lunch. But I kept it in my pocket to keep me warm on the walk. They all laughed at me. I'm telling them the truth. Baked potato in the morning on the way out. And I walked in that door, and me and my brother, there's nothing but a note there on the table. There was a coat, a new coat on the chair, and a machete and six rusty traps laying on the table, and a note. Boys, went to Michigan to work. Merry Christmas. I'll see you whenever. Was there food in the house? No. After a couple months, the electric got shut off. I'll see you whenever. What does whatever mean? He goes, well, I have a terrible life. Really? That's right before Christmas. Now, me and my brother, we laugh our guts out now. We sit and laugh. I'm going to tell you right now, Floyd, we wasn't laughing then. We didn't know what to do. Days turned into weeks. Then they turned into months. I think I seen my dad that summer for about 10 minutes. Enough for him to flash big wads of money in my face and leave. First time I ever seen a $100 bill, he showed me one. I thought, wow, that's cool. Did he give me one? No. Back to Michigan. Okay. You ask me how I made it? I don't know. God. I graduated high school, for crying out loud. Can I tell you, kids are brutal? Your age kids are brutal. You guys fight over the pettiest things, but you guys are brutal to each other. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm talking about your age kids. They're brutal to say things that are so hurtful to children. I had kids call me Troll Man because I lived on the bus. I lived under a bridge. Then I graduated to Stink Hog because I had no one to know where to take a bath. I tried to take a bath in the river. I'm telling you, that was brutal. It was. Children just cut me up like you wouldn't believe. I went beyond the Greg Brady look. Guys, this is in the 70s. I had flipping hair like this. If I let my hair go, it used to turn into ringlets. And just boing! With no mousse or anything to make it happen. Now I chop it off before the curl starts. But it just, man, did I have hair. I didn't get a haircut for a couple years. I grew a beard down to here. No, I had brown hair. No Santa hair. Full beard that long. I'm like 18. You know what? I don't know. God kept his hand on me. I was in Arizona one time. Out there with a woman who got mad at me. We're out in the middle of the desert. I said, I'm getting out of the truck. I got out of the truck. She took off. I said, go ahead. I walked over the hill for a couple minutes to relieve myself, come back out, and I was there by myself. I spent the whole night walking in the desert. By God, I'm telling you right now, if you've ever walked between Kingman, Arizona, and Las Vegas, It is wilderness. About 2 in the morning, here come this vehicle down the road just a weaving. Like a bread truck, weaving from road to road. I said, oh God, don't die on me, computer. God's good. I said, I'm going to get killed by this guy. That's all right. Just shut it off. Just don't worry about Brandon. I'm going to get killed by this guy. And you know what? He stopped. I mean, I'm in the middle of nowhere, and the guy stopped. And he goes, I'm not really drunk. My steering column's going out of my vehicle. He said, but if you need a ride to Vegas, which is about 40 more miles, he said, we'll try to get there. Leslie, I was younger than you then. Can you imagine that? I was young. I was about 21. Yeah, I took the ride. I jumped in that car right now, man. You walk in the desert for 4 or 5 hours. I thought I was going to get 8. I told Susie, I said, this place ain't nothing but coyotes and roadrunners. Me and her, I drove down through there. We drove about 2,000 miles on vacation. I never saw one roadrunner or one coyote. She said, you're a liar. I'm not believing anything you tell me anymore. Oh my gosh, that was Christmas Eve. I mean, if I spent some wonderful Christmases, I'm not going to bore you with the rest of them. I got so many of them. They have been bad time of the year. And I have really had to fight with this feeling right here at this time of the year, being alone in this world. I actually did not know what it was to have real Christmas until I met my wife and we started having Christmas. And that was just unbelievable. You know, I understood that I wasn't alone, no matter what. I understood that I was not alone in this world. Now I understand that I wasn't alone then. God was with me. So if you're having a lonely time at this time of the year, remember this verse. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. The Bible says that when your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord takes you up and has you as his own. I went, oh my gosh. I seen that in the Bible. I went, I am God's. I have an ultimate parent. I didn't have that great of ones on this earth. The day before my mother passed away, she couldn't even look me in the face. She had so much guilt in her. She looked at the wall away from me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Linda, she was a terrible mother, as mothers go. And my father, I don't want to speak bad about the dead, but he was a terrible father, as fathers go. They literally taught me how not to be as a parent. You can't let your children just run wild and do whatever they want. I was a wild man, man. They had no restraint over me. The only time they wanted to discipline me was when they got mad at me. Then they wanted to hit me with a monkey wrench, or my mother used to slap me with a flip-flop. She was about this tall. My God, she could whip that sucker off 3 times and back on her foot before you could bat an eye. Little wiry, skinny legs. She just whip that leg up there, whip that flip-flop off. Back on her foot, man. Lord have mercy. I've lost the crowd now. You know, so many people, you have this longing to have friendship with people. You know, I mean, we've got out of control with that longing. I mean, we're friends with people who don't even live in our country anymore. And of course, it's created all kinds of problems. You know, because we have this idea of what real life is. Let me tell you, real life is not this phony stuff on TV. Real life is mom and dad struggling to make ends meet and trying to stay together while you're doing it and being tempted by other people coming at you from all angles to just chuck it and move on. And then you chuck it and move on. My parents chucked it and moved on. And let me tell you right now, both of them wished they wouldn't have did it. But they were hitting that 40 age, you know what I mean? Oh, I never got to do anything, man. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to go here. I need to do this. I need to do that. It's a mess. You want to have your kids love you when they grow old? Love them when they're young. And love is not spelled L-O-V-E. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Instead of giving them $10 and say, hit the mall because they're driving you nuts, you go to the mall with them. Who said that? I tell them tough. I said, who's the parent in this house? You can ask all my kids, who's the parent in this house? Right, Jacob? Right, Derek? You know what Jacob told me one time? He said, Dad, you are a weird dad. I said, well, all kinds of people have called me weird, so you're on the list. I had a girl one time say, you're a weird guy, you know? Yeah, I know. I'm different. Okay? I said, why do you think I'm a weird dad? He says, because you want to be with us. I don't want any regrets when I get older. I don't have any. With rearing my children, I may be a little bit too hard on Derek. I don't know. I have that maybe as a regret. That was a little too hard on him. But he was so impressionable as a young guy, I was afraid he was going to be on drugs somewhere. He ended up being a cop, for crying out loud. And then he goes and becomes a sheriff or a deputy, not just a cop. You know? I don't want to have any regrets. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have any. I want to make sure. I want them to know that I'm always with them. If dad is an image of God, I want them to have an image. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to be the parent of the matter. Sometimes I still want to be the parent of the matter. But you can ask my kids, I don't tell them anything. If I see them doing something, I don't even say nothing. Jacob, he comes to me, I just want you to tell me. My answer, what does God want you to do? Let me tell you how you get connected, folks. It is possible to feel lonely. Yeah, that thing's possessed today, so I'm just forgetting about it. It is possible to feel lonely in a room full of people. But you know what? The scripture says if you want to have friends, have to be friendly. You know, and I tell people all the time, I say, you know, when I first started this thing, this is my 25th Christmas message. 25 years of this. You know? When I first started this, I thought I knew it all. I'm just going to get up there and I'm going to preach the word because that's what they told me to do. Them MIP people, we used to have all these old people come in, preach the word to them. That'll change them when you preach the word. Young guys, let me tell you, that's a lie. It won't change them. So you can flap your gums all you want. It ain't going to change them. Right, young guys? Let me tell you what's going to change them. You live it in front of them. And when they see all hell's going loose in your, everything's breaking loose. Boy, that's a crowd, huh? I think I didn't put that on there. When everything's breaking loose in your life and you say it's all okay. Why? Because Jesus is still in charge of this thing. Right? How many know he's never got off the throne? Oh, hallelujah. And so you just got to decide to be friendly. And be friendly to people. Be friendly to everybody. Don't walk around like you look like your face has been baptized in pickle juice. My pastor, he got up one time and he says, you know, how many of you are happy in here? And some of them raised their hands. Not everybody. He said, well, those of you that raise your hands and are happy, would you please notify your face? Because it don't know. You know, if you want to be happy at Christmas time, you got to connect. You got to connect. You know, Susie and I, now that the kids are all grown, we have a tradition. Every Christmas, we go to a movie. That's our little tradition as a family. I mean, we only got two in our little family unit now. But you know what? We decided that with all the kids gone, we're going to have a good little family unit. Somebody say amen. If you don't have the kids gone, you'll know what I mean pretty soon. I remember all the kids were almost grown, and she said, I want to be a nurse. And I said, I want to be in the medical field. I said, wow. She said, I want to help my family. I'm thinking, it's just me. You know? I mean, kids growing up, we didn't have much. I'll tell you, we didn't have much. I made $4.75 an hour when we got going with six kids. Try to make it on that. Going out to eat a bologna sandwich in the backyard. One sandwich. First time we filled our cupboards up in our house, I said at the... Oh, why are you making me tell this? First time we filled our cupboards up. I mean, we filled all the cupboards in our house with food. And there was another bag or two on the table that wasn't in cupboards yet. Hey, if I'm lying, I'm frying. You can ask my wife. I sit down at the table and I burst it into tears. I cried. Just tore me up. And she came over and she said, what's the matter? I just never had this much. I never had this much. I remember five kids having to eat a can of beans. I said, I never had this much. The serving God stuff's cool. Every one of those lean years had a purpose. You might be in a lean time right now. Let me tell you guys, they have purposes. Every one of them had a purpose. Her and I learned to be thankful. And we learned to share the gratitude. And in those days, hey, I know when paying a tithe is a sacrifice. I know when it is. It ain't a sacrifice for us anymore. But it was then. I mean, I drove cars. I called them Coast to Canardly cars. They coast down one hill and can hardly make it up the next without somebody behind them pushing it. I drove a car one time that I had to hit bumps every now and then to keep the fuel pump working. How would you like to drive down the highway and all of a sudden your car starts to die, so you have to go off the road and hit the median strip? Bop, 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 bop. Fuel pump kick on. I drove those cars. I picked up a guy one time. I said, I don't know. He was hitchhiking. I don't know how far we're going to make it, but he looked at me. I said, if you see me pull off the road, I'm not drunk or I'm not crazy. I said, I'm trying to hit a bump. So I can keep this car running. I said, my electric fuel pump's going bad, and every now and then it'll just shut off and I have to hit a bump, and that'll activate it again. Poor old Francis one time, in the dead of winter, was hanging out the truck window with a rebar stake smacking the fuel pump to try to keep the thing running. Floyd, I didn't care about cars. I don't now. I drive Hyundais. I mean, I don't care. I just cared that when I got in there and turned the key, it went boom. That was hilarious, that kid. He goes, I got it this time, Don. Click, click, and bang, bang, it'd start running again. That's the truth. Ask him and you see him. He about froze to death one day. It was about like today, about 20 degrees. Oh, man. I am so thankful today that I don't have to do that. One of the things that you can do to make you feel better is you can give to people. You know, when you do, you're being part of something larger than yourself. You know, I tell people all the time, stop praying for a miracle and be one. Be one to somebody. You know, we had a pastor in our group of people. His church is so tiny, and he's been there so long. We're talking like 15 people. The church is so small, he's never had a pastor's appreciation. And me and a group of guys, us pastor guys, were talking about and said, you know what? We all need to chip in some money. And then we need to give the guy a pastor's appreciation. And you know, we all did. Most of us wrote $200 or $300 checks. There's about 10 of us. Some went and bought gift cards plus gift checks. We gave the guy a couple grand in cash at a dinner we were having, a pastor's dinner. He just bawled. He said, we've been struggling so bad. It was almost Christmas time. He said, we've been struggling so bad, and I've been praying for a miracle, to God to break through in a miracle in my church. I said, well, God just broke a miracle through for you. Be a miracle. You know? One of the greatest stories I've ever heard is about a woman who lost her husband and she started feeling lonely. It come a time of year when holidays come around, she just started feeling lonely. She went to the pastor. He was a young guy. And she looked at him and she said, Pastor, she said, I just feel so lonely right now. And he put his arm around her and gave her a little hug. And he says, I understand. He said, but what you really need to do, sister, is you need to go out and bake some cookies. And she looked at him like, what? She didn't let him finish. She got upset with him. She took off out of the church. This was her church. She'd been there for years. She took off out of the church, mad. People from the church tried to get a hold of her, and she wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't answer the door. Several weeks went by. They tried to get a hold of her. She knew, them people don't care about me. I'm not going out there. One day she was washing dishes at the sink, and she looked out the window, and she seen a whole bunch of kids playing on a playground. She lived beside a little park, and she seen a whole bunch of kids out there playing on a playground. And she goes, you know, I think I'll bake them kids some cookies. And she baked cookies. And she took them out to these little kids that are out here playing in the park and give them little bags of cookies and all. They just hugged her. And you know, there was about a half a dozen kids come up to me and hug me yesterday with the Santa thing. I'm not Santa. I mean, I'm just sitting over here, you know, enjoying the thing. But they were so appreciative. These little kids started hugging on her and thanking her for what she did. And she goes, you know what? She said, I think I'm going to bake cookies again tomorrow. And tomorrow come and she baked some cookies. She took them out. They started calling her Grandma Cookie Lady. And every day they'd knock on her door, Grandma, do you have cookies for us today? And she said, I sure do. Couple months go by, she finally went back to church. She walked up to church. She gave that pastor a great big hug and said, Pastor, you were right. I needed to bake cookies. Stand up with me. Folks, when you share of yourself at this time of the year, when you share of yourself, something happens inside you. It sets something off inside of you. It gets the focus off of you. In your life, even for a little while, and gets to focus on what is really important. There's a Bible scripture, and I'm finishing with this, that haunts me so many times. Every time I read it in the Bible, I can't even tell you where it's at because I don't memorize it. It's one of them verses I don't want to memorize. But it says, be careful to do more for others than yourself. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, do I do that? Do I really do that? And that just fits so good with today. With today. I have learned that if you want to be happy at Christmas time, you have to share it. You have to share the season. Oh, hallelujah. The kids are all coming over after church today, and we're giving all the kids and the grandkids their presents. Having Christmas early, because they're going to have Christmas at their home, Christmas Day, and Grandma and Grandpa are going to the movies.